The Prophetic Gift in the Gospel Church, Chapter 4, The Gift of Prophecy in the Last Days. The Refreshing. In Acts 3, verses 19 to 21, is brought to view a time of refreshing spoken of in close connection with Christ's second coming. This undoubtedly refers to the same time as that mentioned by the Apostle James when he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Stablish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." James 5, verses 7 and 8. The early and latter rain is also mentioned by the prophet Joel in connection with his description of the last days. The coming of the former rain moderately is called, in the margin of the text, a teacher of righteousness according to righteousness, Joel 2, verse 23. The outpouring of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Comforter as a teacher, was comparable to the former rain, which caused the newly sown seed of the husbandman to take root and grow. So in the ripening of the harvest of the earth, just before the end, the husbandman, our Heavenly Father, John 15, verse 1, is waiting for the latter rain, the refreshing, to aid in ripening off the harvest of the earth. The Lord has said by His prophet, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field." Zechariah 10, verse 1. And thus will be fulfilled His promise, "Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." Hosea 6, verse 3. Perilous times. The time immediately preceding the second coming of Christ is presented as perilous, as a time of the working of Satan in mighty power, and also a time in which the Lord's people will be, in a special sense, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Why should it be a thing improbable for the Lord to pour out in a special manner His Spirit to instruct, strengthen, and keep His people from the wiles of Satan in that trying time? In writing to Timothy, Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." He then enumerates 18 sins to be found among a people having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Of these he says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." 2 Timothy 3, verses 1-9. Jannes and Jambres were chief magicians of Pharaoh, who sought to resist the work of the Lord through Moses by counterfeit miracles. The Lord, by the hand of His servant Moses, wrought in a manner that the magicians could not counterfeit. Exodus 7, verse 11, chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. It is seen, then, that as the end is nearing and Satan works in power, the Lord gives showers of blessings to His people, thus defeating the purpose of Satan. So they are kept by the power of God and the folly of counterfeit workers made manifest. Final deliverance. In many scriptures, the Lord compares the deliverance of His people from Egypt with the final deliverance of His saints. As a sample, see Ezekiel 20, verses 35 to 37. One feature that was connected with the deliverance of Israel is mentioned by the prophet Hosea when he says, "By a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved." Hosea 12, verse 13. So if there is a similarity in the last deliverance to that from Egypt, we may look for the gift of prophecy to be connected with the preparation for the deliverance. Law and Prophets' Message. In the following words of Isaiah is shown to the prophet what is to be expected in the last days. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. The margin, the Hebrew meaning, the latter day. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Isaiah 30, verses 8 to 11. By reference to 1 Samuel 9, verse 9, we learn that a seer and a prophet mean one and the same. For there we read that he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer, one who had visions from God and prophesied. The force, then, of the above scripture is that the gift of prophecy will be connected with the proclamation of God's law in the last days. This the masses will reject because they do not like reproof, preferring a smooth path. Spirit of Prophecy. In the New Testament, where Paul is speaking of the people waiting for Christ's second coming, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 to 8. Thus all the gifts are to be manifest among that people who stand at last prepared to meet Christ in peace at his coming. From this it also appears that one gift is singled out, the confirmation of which prepares the way for all the gifts to be developed in the church. That one gift he calls the testimony of Jesus. To ascertain the meaning of this scripture, we will compare it with others. In Revelation chapter 12, after the persecution of the Dark Ages, we find the apostle speaking thus of the last of the church in her probationary state. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 17. The remnant of the church is the last of the church in its probation here. This is seen in Joel's prophecy of the Lord's people just before the great and terrible day of the Lord. In the preparation for that day, he says, salvation shall be in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Joel 2, verse 32. This remnant will have war made on them for keeping all of God's commandments and for having manifested among them the testimony of Jesus. By looking in Revelation chapter 19, we get a scripture definition of the testimony of Jesus. This is John's account given while in vision on the Isle of Patmos. He mistook the beautiful angel that was before him for an object for him to worship and said, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Verse 10. We now have an inspired definition that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we have the right definition of a word or phrase, it is proper to substitute the definition in the sentence. Substituting thus in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 6 and 7, the text would read, "The spirit of prophecy was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in Revelation 12, verse 17, it would read, "That the dragon went to make war with the remnant, who keep the commandments of God and have the spirit of prophecy." We see then that the remnant church, the members of which will be keeping all of God's commandments, are to have the gift of prophecy among them, and that that gift is to lead out in preparing the way so that all the gifts will at last be manifested among the people who are waiting for Christ's coming. Thus, as the Lord's people return to obedience, to the keeping of all his commandments, the gift of prophecy is restored to his people. Prophesyings. In the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, he speaks of Christ's second coming, the resurrection of the righteous, and the change of the living saints. In the fifth chapter, he shows that that day will come upon the masses as a thief in the night. He says, however, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. That people who will be found watching for Christ's coming, whom he calls children of light, he exhorts as follows: "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good." 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 21. What is more consistent than to expect the Lord to teach directly his people who are to pass through the perils of the last days and be prepared to meet the Savior in peace at his coming? It is that point of time to which the patriarchs and the true prophets of all past time have looked with intense interest, when the conflict of ages, the controversy between sin and righteousness, is to close, and the age for which all other ages were made is to be brought in. It cannot be that God, who is abundant in mercy, will refrain from specially instructing his people. Thanks be to God, he has not left this as a matter of supposition, for he will guide his people by the spirit of prophecy, as the scriptures clearly teach.